It's a season to itself, not simply the way to spring. The clarity and brilliance of the winter sky delight. The loom of fog softens edges, lulls the eyes and ears of the quiet, awakens by risk the unquiet. A low dark sky turns snow, emblem of individuality, liberality, and aggregate power. Snow invites us to contemplation and to sport.
Winter is a table set with ice and starlight.
Winter dark tends to warm light, fire and candle, winter cold to hugs and huddles, winter want to gifts and sharing, winter danger to visions, plans, and common endeavoring, and the zest of narrow escapes, winter tedium to merrymaking.
Let us therefore praise winter, rich in beauty, challenge, and pregnant in negativities.
So as soon as winter weather begins, and we begin to turn our attention indoors, our culture engages us in a grand series of bacchanalias, or bacchanaliae, or whatever the ancients would have called them. In the last 6 weeks, we have all eaten too many sweets, indulged ourselves in other ways, overbooked our calendars, and overused our bank accounts. It was mostly to good end, of course, but it's a good thing for that sort of behavior to be temporary. Don't get me wrong, I do like the holidays. I love the rich food, the exchanges of news and gifts with friends, and the international lip service to peace on earth. But I don't like the feeling of pressure, of rushing from one thing to another, and the unbelievable vulgarity of commercialism. To all that I say, bah, humbug. As much as I do enjoy the parts I do enjoy every year, I can hardly wait for the business of the holidays to be over. And so now they are, and there's just winter ahead for the next 3 months. And that brings us to the story of Persephone. The beloved goddess, the beloved daughter of the Greek goddess Demeter. Now, if you remember your Greek mythology, Demeter was the goddess of rain and growing things. Her smile made the flowers bloom, and her holy gift of wheat sprung from her footsteps to feed the people. There were no seasons then. Everything grew in an endless cycle, and people had only to gather the bounty to be fed. She had a daughter, Persephone. Persephone was so beautiful that the sun shone brighter when she was around, and she was her mother's greatest joy. They evidently spent their time gathering garlands of flowers and fruits as they danced through the world. This always sounded boring to me. And imagine the psychological consequences for poor Persephone. Her mother makes everything grow and is worshipped by the people, but she herself has no function except to look pretty, personify the growing crops, and make her mother happy year in and year out. And just imagine a non-stop, year-round harvest festival where the dancing never stops. Now, in the version of the story we're most familiar with, Persephone was kidnapped and raped by Hades, and forced to go with him deep into the underworld. Demeter was so heartbroken that she went into mourning and forbade any new life to grow, thus creating winter. Finally, at the urging of other gods, Hades agreed to allow Persephone to return to the world for half of each year. And each time she came back, Demeter's joy made spring come and the flowers bloomed again. The rest of the time, Persephone was faithful to Hades and became the dreaded goddess of the underworld. But more contemporary scholarship suggests that the rape and association with Hades were both later additions to the story that were added along with other Indo-European patriarchic ideas after about 1000 BCE. In the earlier versions of the story, Persephone realizes that part of her mother's work is being neglected. You see, Demeter was supposed to be responsible for the entire cycle of life. And she was supposed to take back life at the end and return it to her body. But she was too busy making things grow to do a good job of the other part. Death was not her favorite part of the job description. So Persephone loved her mother's growing things, and she reveled in the flowers and fruits and grains that sprang from her mother's bounty. But she also noticed all the spirits of the dead wandering around looking confused and wondering what had happened to them. She felt sorry for them. And so she told her mother she was going away to the underworld to help the dead souls find peace. She gave up the sunshine and the world she loved to descend into the dark, cold underworld where she blessed the undead soul, saying, "You have waxed into the fullness of life and waned into darkness. May you be renewed in tranquility and wisdom." It seems to me that nearly every psychological pathology of human beings was written about in Greek myths, with the possible exception of internet addiction. I've seen the sort of mother-daughter relationship that Demeter demanded, and I've never considered it healthy. Persephone would have really needed to get away from Mama and take up her own profession in order to become a functioning adult. And think of Demeter being so upset about it that she would throw the whole world into cold and darkness. How irresponsible and selfish can you be? Not that the Greeks had much of a winter. So Persephone had the right idea. She chose not only to take a vacation from Mama now and then, but to use that vacation to descend into cold and darkness, to do the work that no one else wanted to do, and to only come back to the sunshine she loved for part of the year. And what work does she choose? She tends to souls. She kindly cares for the spirits that everyone else has neglected and tells them, "May you be renewed in tranquility and wisdom." Perhaps this talk should have been called Persephone's winter vocation. In any case, while she's away on her working holiday and Demeter is sulking, we get a winter vacation from all their dancing and garland gathering to enjoy nature's downtime. Winter is not the underworld. It's far from dead. The trees are very much alive, and they're quietly recharging themselves and preparing for next summer's fruit, even as they pop and crack in the cold. Water is still working below the ground and below the ice. There's amazing light. It's dark outside, so it's easier for us to turn inward. It's what's below the surface that's most important now. Winter is a good time to to tend to souls. While Persephone tends to the souls of the dead, we have an opportunity to pay attention to the souls of the living. It's time to slow down, settle in, and concentrate on the inner world. Think about the magnificent, breathtaking stillness of an ice-hard January night. The air is so sharp, so clear, and so cold that it burns your nose and makes your teeth ache. It's so quiet you could almost hear the stars. The world has come to a still point, focused on this moment and then the next moment. It's like slowly releasing a long, deep breath until there's that intimate moment between the breaths, a split second when the lungs are empty, completely relaxed and resting before wanting to draw another breath. Try that. Just breathe out and feel the pause between the time you're through breathing out and when you want another breath. We need to pay attention to such moments. We need to be acutely aware of our own smallness and warmth. And when we find one of those magical still points, it is at once peaceful and exhilarating. It's good for the soul. I also particularly love the beauty of winter, and I don't mean just the snow. The colors of winter are not brilliant and all over the spectrum like fall, and certainly not as multiply green like the spring, but it certainly is not just gray. The colors of winter are delicate and subtle, and they change dramatically with light and weather. Even the shadows hold color more in the winter. Everything, the very severity of the landscape is beautiful and stare. Everything is cut to its simplest forms and elegantly decorated with ever-changing frost and ice. What is there in the world that's any more beautiful and fascinating than the thin ice that forms on ice? We need to pay attention to unobvious beauty. It's useful to our souls to take time to be conscious of the beauty in ordinary things. It takes an investment of time to see the elegance of subtlety. And then there's snow. We all hate to drive in it, of course, and moving it out of the places we don't want it is a hard and endless chore. But can you really fail to be just a little cheered by it? Snow creates a sense of excitement. People seem friendlier when it's snowing. Neighbors who never speak to you any other time will rush out of their warm houses to help you get your car and stuff. When it snows hard at night, we all wake up early with the hope of a snow day. Snow days are wonderful, unplanned holidays in which you are not expected to accomplish anything other than digging out. Even though it gets a lot harder to do around the end of March, try to pay attention to your inner excited kid when it snows. It's good for your soul. And the best part of winter is the pleasure of being home inside and warm with the winter outside. In winter, I have a sense of me against the elements. Even when the cold and dark is annoying, there's pleasure in bundling up and braving the cold, appreciating our ability to just survive it. And there's a wonderful coziness to working safely indoors while the weather blusters about outdoors. Winter is a great time to take on projects that are going to take some time. As an artist, I've always done the greater part of my work in this 3 months. There are fewer distractions and temptations, and it's quiet. This is worth our conscious attention. Go outside fairly often to remind yourself how wonderful it is to be safe from the elements. It's good for the soul. Winter is too long and too dark. And no doubt you will hear me too complain. I will get cold. The car will get stuck coming up the driveway. I will lose my gloves and my horse will tear her blanket again. By March, I will be thoroughly sick of it, just like everyone else. But then Persephone will return to the upper world. Demeter will throw the grand homecoming party of spring, and we will all appreciate it. Pay attention. It's good for the soul. And may you be renewed in tranquility and wisdom.